are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles, and I was hoping for another Victory Monday. It was certainly there for the picking. We could have got it done, but the Buccaneers don't get it done, and they go 2-3, and they go to Atlanta. You're not going to say lay an egg. I'm just going to say lose to a team that is extremely beatable. That Atlanta Falcon team won't win more than six games this year. They're not that good. They're just not. And as poorly as the Bucs played, they had many different situations where they could have won that game yesterday. Many. And we're going to break them down scientifically as we go through here in the trenches, because there's so many little things and there's some big things as well. Okay, so little things and big things, both. I do know this. Atlanta Falcons won't win six games. We probably won't win five. Not with that defense. Just not going to happen. So the Bucs lose three in a row. They start off 2-0. We remember the Fitzmagic era. I think 5 years from now, Buccaneer fans are going to remember the Fitzpatrick era as two games, you know? And I miss it, because it's not me saying that Fitzpatrick should be starting quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. Before the end of this year, the Buccaneers need to figure out whether Jameis Winston is their man or not. And I swear I could have, if you went back to the Ian Beckles show, which is on 102.5 The Bone every Sunday from 11 to 1, I said, this is what's going to happen. I go, Jameis is going to throw for about 350 yards. He's going to have three or four touchdowns and two picks, and the Bucs are going to lose. And that's about what happened. The unfortunate part is, that's Jameis Winston. That's what he is. And yesterday, Jameis could have easily thrown four picks. There was two other picks that were just dropped. So that's not a good feel for Jameis. Is Jameis our biggest problem? Nope, he is not. Our entire defense is our biggest problem. Our coaching is our biggest problem. I don't see anything innovative on either side of the ball. Never. Never. At the beginning of the year, it looked good. Fitzy was doing some of that. And offensively, we've done some things early. Defensively, in the five games the Bucs have played, at the end of the season, the five quarterbacks we've played to this point, the game they played against the Buccaneers is probably going to be the best game they have of the year. We haven't slowed down anybody. Trubisky hasn't played great before or after. Matt Ryan hasn't been playing great all year long. Now, we have Baker Mayfield coming into our house. If you let Baker Mayfield throw for 350 yards, fire them all immediately. Because I got some news for you. The Cleveland Browns are walking in here in our stadium thinking, this team, we got this team. We're better than this team. And they are better, because they're better on the defensive side of the ball. Offense makes they make mistakes. Some days, you know, you can't rely on the offense, but a good defense is about as reliable as can be. And they've been in just about every single game this year. But watching that game yesterday for the Buccaneers, and I thought they were going to win. I put money on the Bucs. I'm going to let you know that. They're getting 3 points. I'm like, I think the Bucs win this straight up. And they should have covered anyways, but they didn't. But there are so many things that happened in that game where they could have easily gone the other way. When Adam Humphries was tackled on a 2-yard line, and I had a bunch of people here at the Flavor of Tampa Bay, when he got tackled on a 2-yard line, I looked at it and go, they won't score. The Buccaneers are the worst team in short yardage, and they're just not a physical football team. When he got tackled on a 2, I go, they're not going to score. First play, no yards. Second play, somebody jumps offside. Third play, interception, 7 points. We miss an extra point. That's 8 points. At the end of the first half, and these are things that people don't really remember, and I write them down so I don't forget them. At the end of the first half, the Falcons had the ball on the 20-yard line with 26 seconds left. Now, if you're playing a team with a good defense, you know what you do? You kneel and you go into the halftime up 8. 26 seconds, and the Falcons had the ball on the 20, and they ended up kicking from the other 25 with 6 seconds left. So in 20 seconds, they drove 60 yards, unscathed, unabated. The first drive of the game the Falcons had, it might as well have been 7-on-7. It looks, my boy was like, that's 7-on-7. You can't cover guys forever. Other than Jason Pierre-Paul, who gets to the quarterback once a game, and the rest of the time, we're not really hitting the quarterback a whole lot. We got to the quarterback once a game. I guess Jason Pierre-Paul has four weeks in a row where he has a sack, so he's doing his job. Jason Pierre-Paul is playing pretty good football. He's earning his money. There's nobody else on the front line. You guys can keep on bringing up Gerald McCoy's name all you want. Let me tell you this. If you think Gerald McCoy's a good football player, I'm going to say this with a straight face. You're wrong. He's not. The film doesn't say he is. Gerald McCoy has 10 tackles and 1.5 sacks in 5 games, and he left the game. Calf or whatever. I'm not going to knock a guy for getting hurt, but I will knock a guy for not ever getting a tackle. He went upfield, running back cut back, he hit his foot. The running back took 4 more steps, then fell, and then Gerald McCoy pounded his chest. It's the wrong dude, man. It's the wrong dude to be the leader. I'm sorry, because I'm seeing him get pushed around. I'm seeing him get tossed around. He is not a good football player. I don't give a crap. I really don't. If you're a good football player, you have to do something statistically. You have the worst defense in the NFL. You're not making plays on the worst defense in the NFL. Period. You guys are out there all game long. You're only playing probably 60% of the plays, and you're going in there and not doing anything. I come from an era where defensive linemen didn't come out the game, man. You don't think I wanted John Randall to come out the game? Get your ass out of the game. I don't want you in there. He's coming out all the time, making no plays. I'm tired of it. I really am. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear how good. And you know what's going to happen at the end of this year? Listen to me closely. Gerald McCoy will make it to his 7th Pro Bowl. That's what's going to happen. Because I'll be damned if Chris Spielman didn't do exactly what everybody else says. Defense led by Gerald McCoy. He has a great get-off. Great. Great. You got a great get-off. Congratulations. Falcons went 3-for-3 in the red zone. And the Buccaneer opponents are 11-for-11 in the red zone. Now, those are the kind of things I get. If you're 11-for-11, and if last 4 games, NFL worst, 15-for-16 on the season. So those are glaring statistics. At one point in the game yesterday, they put up on the board, they said, the Buccaneers last 14 possessions, and I want you to listen closely, the last 14 possessions, 9 touchdowns, 2 field goals, 2 punts, and a kneel down. So you did your job twice out of 50. You remember the Bucs of old? What did Warren Sapp used to say? Give me 17 points, period. How many touchdowns are you going to give up? Every drive's a touchdown. In the first half, we haven't stopped anybody in the first half of this year, period. None. And this defense at times looks like they're definitely uninspired. But I've been asking this of people, Buccaneer fans, and they're like, oh man, what's going on? And I said, let me ask you a question. As a Buck fan, what do the Bucs do well? I didn't say what the Bucs are great at. You know, what do they do well? I'll give that question to any Buc fan out there. What do the Bucs do well? If you give me any team in the NFL right now, I'll say, well, they're known for this. What are the Bucs known for other than losing? Okay? And Dirk Cutter looks lost. Mike Smith has looked lost the whole season. All their asses are going to be out of here. And as far as Jameis Winston goes, that's Jameis Winston. Take it or leave it. That's what it's going to be. Jameis Winston is he makes some very poor decisions. He makes some very fabulous plays. He doesn't quite know how to be safe as a quarterback. He doesn't know how to do that. And I think that's important at times. At times, it's important to know where not to miss. And the interception he threw to DeSean Jackson, A Plant High School quarterback knows not to throw that ball with a deep middle safety standing there like he's fair catching the ball. Don't throw that ball. Him and DeSean Jackson, it's like they've never practiced before together. And that's what I see. He always seems to be low and short with DeSean Jackson. It's the weirdest thing. The whole thing seemed a little off yesterday. Now, Jameis had okay statistics. Like, Jameis fans are going to say, well, what about, well, he had 300-something. There's a lot of fluffy yards in there. And by the way, everybody throws for 300-something now. Everybody does. Those two interceptions are the reason why the Bucs, one of the reasons why the Bucs lost. I mean, if you don't turn the ball over, and this came out of Jameis' mouth as well in a press conference, if you don't turn the ball over, we win the game. Now, we want you to go out there. You got to take some chances. You know, Brett Favre had a career out of throwing interceptions, but he also made big plays. In a perfect world, that's what Jameis is going to turn into. He ain't that now. Not right now. Now, let's talk about that play on the sideline with Jameis as he's going out of bounds and the defensive back just cold cocks him. He was in bounds. It wasn't a clean hit because it was helmet to helmet. It wasn't a clean hit, but he hit him in bounds. The referees didn't throw the flag. I don't care what anybody says. If that's Matt Ryan, if that's Tom Brady, if that's Drew Brees, some of the non-running quarterbacks, they throw that flag 100% of the times. 100. And thank God Jensen ran to his defense or else I was going to jump through the TV screen and do it myself. That's what offensive linemen are there for, to protect their quarterback. And Jameis, stop taking those hits. Stop it. That's what's going to end your career. Not taking those hits is intelligent football. It is. Taking those hits, you know, I'm not going to pat you on the back for taking unnecessary hits. It's stupid. It's not necessary. It's very clear, and this was being said beforehand, it's very clear that Fitzmagic and DeSean Jackson had they had a little chemistry. It's also very clear that Jameis and Brate and Jameis and Evans and Godwin have chemistry, and it's for some reason it doesn't work with DeSean Jackson. You see it in his face. Maybe you're seeing a little bit in his play. I had somebody email me. If you ever want to email me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have a pizza lover that asked me the question about DeSean Jackson's effort. Now, DeSean Jackson has been very clear that he would rather Fitzmagic in there because obviously he was on a pace to make it to the Pro Bowl and all these different things, and then Jameis comes back in and then his numbers start to dwindle. So obviously he wants him in there. But, you know, Pizza Lover was saying basically it seems like Jackson's effort is less when he plays with Jameis than it is with Fitzpatrick. Now, a couple of the throws down the middle of the field, Pizza Lover would like him to, you know, open up and sprawl and dive for the ball. I think it's easy to say that, but when you're running a 4-3 down the field, it's not quite that easy to say just dive. It's just not that easy. It sounds easy. And sometimes the ball falls relatively close to receiver. It looks like they know what they can catch and they can't catch. The angles are really weird on television. I'm just telling you from firsthand. And something is funky with him and DeSean Jackson. It's not a personal thing. He wants to get the ball to DeSean Jackson. I mean, that's a quick fix right there. The Bucs haven't had a receiver like that in quite a while. He wants to get it to him, but it's not working, unfortunately. Little things, some of the other statistics they were putting up on the board or on the TV yesterday. Since 2015, Blake Bortles, 69 interceptions or turnovers, 69 turnovers. He's number one. Number two is Jameis with 63. It's a bad number, man. That's a bad place to be. Winning, losing, indifferent, doesn't matter. And when you look at Jameis as a quarterback and his progressions and the way he's, you know, developing and maturing as a quarterback, I see some maturation, but the other part, I'm like, man, I'd like to see him look off a receiver every once in a while. I don't see him doing that. I don't see that part of his game maturing. I really don't. I see him forcing the ball at times, and I want to say, why? Why are you forcing that ball? I still like his leadership. I still think he's a competitor, but between the next few weeks, we're going to find out whether he's our guy or not. Because when you go, when you play Cleveland, who has a very tough defense, and you struggle in our stadium, there's going to be a lot of people chanting Fitzpatrick. You know that. And that's when you might say, well, he has to be a big boy and he can't listen to that. You know you're going to hear that. You can't not hear people chanting your backup's name. You have to hear that for sure. So we're going to find out how mature Jameis Winston really is right now. Because when they put the film on today and they're at One Buck Place and they're watching the film, somebody has to be blamed. Okay? Defensively, everybody has to be blamed. Offensively, they left a lot out there yesterday. They really did. So many opportunities. And it's just, we're still scoring some points, but it's just a little bit off. I still don't quite feel the rhyme and reason to our offense. It doesn't have a flow to it yet. It just doesn't. We're scoring some points. It seems a little disjointed to me. Still can't. We ran the ball better yesterday than we have in the past, which is good. That takes away a little of the pressure off of Jameis. But we need to. Jameis needs to throw the ball 30 times a game and not 45. Now, I've talked about the offense, talked about the defense, and I said, what do we do well? And I still haven't heard any answers. Well, not anybody can speak to me right now, but are we good? Are we well coached? Are we a well-coached football team? Because when it's first and goal at the two-yard line, your tight end jumps outside, that's not well-coached. When in the middle of the field, we have a blitz called and Gerald McCoy jumps outside on a blitz. On a blitz, you're irrelevant. What you jumping outside for? You're probably not going to get there in a blitz. That's not what it's made for. What are you jumping outside for? When we stop them on their own 10-yard line and all of a sudden, we get a hands to the face and they get a first down. Is that well coached? I just don't think we're a well coached team. When I'm watching the goal line and Cleveland's moving around in the backfield and Quan Alexander and Levante David they're voicing and they're trying to figure out where to go and they snap the ball and somebody's wide open in the flat. Is that well coached? I mean, it's the players ultimately that have to make these calls and have to do it out in the field, but are they well prepared? The Bucs don't look like a well prepared team. To come out in a game, almost every game, and let the team just drive right down the field and score a touchdown. This is after we scored. We scored a touchdown and finally we have some momentum. Then you let them walk right down the field, right down the field. And now it's tied up. And at that point, I was like, ugh, eesh. There's just not a lot of resistance for me. And resistance is important. And when you look back at teams like Tony Dungy coached, what do they do well? What do Tony Dungy's teams do well? Well, they're in the right gaps. They rushed the passer. They made plays when they had to. They didn't turn the ball over. And they rushed the football. And they won football games. That's what they did. What do the Bucs do? The Bucs are willy-nilly on offense. They get some things done defensively, a sieve. And so it's an absolute sieve. You cannot win in any league in football without a defense. Defense is important. And I just don't, sometimes I don't know what we're trying to get accomplished. We're not rushing anybody. Every quarterback, if you want to get right, play the Bucs. Play the Bucs if you want to get right. Baker Mayfield is licking his chops. He really is. I don't know if this Buccaneer defense can stop anybody. And I don't know if Mike Smith lasts the season. I really don't. If we get trounced by Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns offensively, Mike Smith needs to be fired immediately. Immediately. I'm not sure Dirk Koetter doesn't go behind him with the bathwater. I'm not sure. I mean, we're getting there. We're getting there. And when the Bucs were 2-0, I sat on this trench podcast and I said, oh, we're 2-0, but we don't take care of this defense. We'll lose 5 in a row. And it's been 3. Lose this one and see what happens. Go 2-4 and see what kind of revolt is happening. We're 1 loss away from Dirk Koetter completely losing that locker room. I see it happening already. I kind of see it happening already. I think Dirk's kind of sensing it too. Mike Smith looks completely lost. There's nothing, there's no plays he can call. There's nothing he can do to improve that defense right now. Everybody wants his head, and I'm telling you, firing him, and it's not going to make anything better. We still don't have any pass rushers. I don't care what defense you call. We don't have any pass rushers. It ain't going to matter. We got one guy, Jason Pierre-Paul. That's it. Vita Vea. All right. Nothing. Nothing. I watched him. I watched the game three times already. Nothing. Zero. I mean, there's nothing there. Just a dude. Just a dude and a funny number. You can't be nose guard at number 50. It looks stupid. Change it, please. But Vita Vea, literally to this point, has done zero. So we had a first round pick. We could have gotten so many different things. Could have got a safety. Could have got a cornerback. We got a fat defensive lineman who doesn't fit our system at all. And that's playing 30 plays a game and making zero tackles. And I guess he's just learning from Gerald McCoy, because collectively, neither one of those guys made any tackles whatsoever. And we have Matt Bryant on the other side, who's 98 years old. And we looked it up. Matt Bryant is 43 years old, okay? Who pulls his hamstring as he's kicking a 58-yarder and then leaves the game. I mean, only against the Bucs can that happen, for a guy that we used to have to just basically spit in our mouths, you know? I just think it's that type of year. It's going to be that kind of year, man. It started off with so much magic. We remember it, kind of. And it's all gone. How many times are the Bucs going to give up a third and long? If it's third and eight, it's time for the other team to punt. And I think we're starting to forget what we used to be. I'm telling you, back in the day, if we were third and eight in a Tony Dungy's team, that team's punting. You're not making a third and eight. Nobody. Third and eight is not a big deal against the Bucs. It's just not. Third and 12 is not a big deal against the Bucs, because guys are running scot-ass free. Everybody, all the time. Tight ends, wide receivers, doesn't matter. Running backs out of the backfield. Teams are going to game plan the crap out of us. And it got to a point where they weren't even really, like, they're up in the game and they still didn't want to run the ball. Like, teams get up against the Bucs and they know they can throw the ball. The fact that they went for it from their own 20 with 26 seconds left to go in the first half is so disrespectful to a defense, I can't tell you. You're up 8 points going to the half, up 8 points. They drove it all the way down the field to get another 3 points. It's disrespectful. Listen, the Bucs defense is disrespecting its damn self by getting on that football field. They're disrespecting themselves. That's real talk. Boy, I'm a Bucs fan through and through, but it sure seems like it's been. It just seems like it the way it's been. Last year, we wanted to be optimistic about this, went 5-11. This year started off gangbusters. Life is great. Now we're exactly what we were. Listen, it's the same. Now, all this craziness I've been talking about, you go and you beat the Cleveland Browns at home, and you go 3-3, and we start talking. Please stop scoreboard watching. I hear people say, well, the Carolina lost. Stop it. Stop it. We're not going to win 9 games this year. Not with that defense. You got to win 9 games to make the playoffs. The Bucs, you cannot find me 7 more wins on that schedule. No way. No way. You better start with this one. If this one doesn't work out, there ain't nothing else on that schedule. And this is hardly a gimme, because they have some fiends over there. And listen, I think it's the one of the ends from the Browns. I'm trying to think of his name, Miles or something like that. Miles can rush now. Him against Donovan Smith may be a real bad matchup, because Donovan Smith, to me, he just seems like a big teddy bear that's never really matured into anything. And as far as the offensive line goes, it was up and down. Yeah, not bad. That's not a problem. And when you look at this team, and we have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, and this kid Eau Claire is out there blocking, and we have DeSean Jackson and Humphreys, and how many, you know, there's so many weapons out there. Evans and Godwin, every week somebody else, but it's just not quite together. It's missing something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a running game. Maybe it's too much on Jameis's plate. But I just know this. This is a very, very crucial football game. The Falcons was a crucial game as well, and we didn't, you know, obviously answer the bell there. This is a crucial one, man. I think there's going to be a lot of tight buttholes at One Buck Place because they know it. This will be the beginning of the end. If you go and look bad at home, the Boo Birds will be out, the Fitzmagic Beards will be out, and that's what we've become. So, Buccaneer fans, if you truly, 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 truly are a Buck fan, you should be cheering for Jameis Winston and his success. Because if Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there, that means our season is literally over. And I think we're getting to that point right now. If anybody ever wants to email me, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. You also want to check out my other podcasts. I have a cannabis podcast. I also have a food podcast and a pop culture one as well. So just look them all up. I enjoy doing this. I'm always on the Bone 102.5 every single day, 5 to 6 in the morning and on Saturday and on Sunday as well. This Saturday, I'll be broadcasting from the Pig Jig over there at Curtis Hickson barbecue competition that I actually won 1 year. I'm going to keep on saying that because I do have the hardware for it. But Pig Jig will be on Saturday. And for those of you that like all the fine foods over here at Flavor of Tampa Bay on Thursday, we're going to have our first charcuterie party, which is going to be from 6:30 to probably 8:30 or so. It'll be on Thursday, and we'll have all the finest meats and cheeses, some great wine, some great spirits, and it'll be a good time. It'll be some fun people here. So I'm doing that with the Traveling Cheese Board. She's a young lady that does some wonderful thing with cheese and charcuterie, so you don't want to miss that one. If you want to purchase tickets, you go to Eventbrite. You can purchase tickets, or you can purchase tickets at the door here at Flavor of Tampa Bay on Gandy and West Shore. I appreciate talking to you guys. Hopefully next week you're speaking in a little better spirits, and it'd be nice to get a win. It seems like it's been a while. Everybody enjoy the week. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Do you like bets and ball games? Yeah, you do, and so do I. Do you like to win when you bet on ball games? We do, and that's why we're here to help guide you to winning wagers. I'm Brian Edwards, the host of the Games Galore podcast. Each week, we break down all the action in football, basketball, and the UFC. Are you a soccer fan? Maybe tennis? No, we aren't either. We stick to the good stuff. Pigskin, hoops, college and pro, and UFC action. We bring in elite guests with experience in sports gambling from all across the country. Tune in and let us help you make some greenbacks. The Games Galore Pod is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.